Welcome back to Fork This with Intoxicate. I'm Intoxicate Kate Slunts, your host, serving up info to tantalize those taste buds every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. Now, if you're looking to book your next night out, make sure to keep it locked right here, or for a personal recommendation, you can hit me up on Facebook or Instagram at Intoxicate Foodie. Of course, that's Intoxicate with a K. I am very excited for my next guest because I kind of have a little foodie crush on her because of all the amazing things that she does in my community. It is Leslie Gordon, president and CEO of Food Bank for Westchester. Leslie, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Kate, thanks so much for having us. And I will say we have a bi-directional foodie crush because we have a foodie crush on all the fantastic things that you do as well.
I love it. I love that it goes both ways. Well, you know, and the other thing is, too, I don't do nearly as good as you do. I have to say you guys have your amazing karma points because you are putting so much love and food on the plates of the people that need it in our community. And that's, you know, something that's very important to me. And I know it's very important to our listeners.
You know, it is. So we're the Food Bank for Westchester. We've been in this marketplace for about 30 years. Actually, we're in our 30th anniversary year. And, you know, what surprises people the most is that there's a legitimate base of residents here in the county who struggle with not having enough food to eat during the week, right? Mm-hmm. It could be they're missing lunch, could be that they're missing all three meals. I mean, you know, hunger is a silent issue. It's not as if you can see someone and know they're hungry. It could be, you know, your neighbor, your coworker, a family member. You know, I often tell people that it's like witnessing the Twilight Zone, right, where you open up a refrigerator and so frequently it could be bare of everything but, let's say, mustard or ketchup. And so, you know, dinners could be macaroni and cheese mixes and other processed ingredients, you know, a real lack of fresh fruits and vegetables, which are, you know, often expensive. Here at the food bank, we really pride ourselves on providing a whole host of whole foods and foods that are rich in nutrients. What may surprise people is that there's a bit of what I often call the hunger obesity paradox. So mm-hmm. someone might be overweight, but it's not because they're eating wholesome foods. It's because, unfortunately, here in the United States, the cheapest foods that people on limited budgets can afford are often laden with fat, sugar, and salt, which is highly problematic and leads to a whole host of diet-related diseases. So it's just not a good picture. But we're glad to distribute about 9 million pounds of good, nutritious food across the county through about 300 on-the-ground partners, so food pantries, soup kitchens, shelters, senior centers. We're at the heart of a supreme network of member agencies who help us get food out to people who need it.
And it's really amazing what you do, because I know I've had, you know, Farmer Doug on the show before, and, you know, you're actually growing things and using that as an educational platform, you know, to educate people about, not only fresh fruits and vegetables and how to use them, but how to grow them. I mean, you guys do so many amazing things. I feel like I could do a whole series of shows about the amazing things you do. But you know, the reason why I have you on the show today is because, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had Mick Mullaney, who's the Director of Office of Management and Budget, announcing to reporters that there's a plan by the U.S. Department of Agriculture to kind of redesign the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, which is otherwise known as SNAP, as this America's Harvest Box. And I have so many questions for you about this.
I'm sure, right? Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah, so this announcement comes out. Of course, we are, as the public, filtering through this all through the news media. Was there some kind of, conversation or communication that went out specifically to food banks, or was there some kind of communication by food, you know, groups that represent food banks about this specific program?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we had the liberty of receiving the information first, so we learned about it just like lots of Americans learned about it through social media, online, mm-hmm. you know, print newspapers. And, you know, it's not something that appears to have much thoughtfulness, frankly, behind it. Mm-hmm. In order to do a harvest food box, which is one of the recommendations, right? So it's a box that would include things like shelf-stable milk, ready-to-eat cereals, some peanut butter, some beans, and other canned foods. The logistics that I can imagine alone in order to facilitate getting a harvest food box to families would require a framework that doesn't necessarily currently exist. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and it's also not the most dignified manner in which to receive food, right? I mean, food is complicated. Mm-hmm. What they're suggesting is not necessarily culturally appropriate. Mm-hmm. It may not be appropriate for people who are struggling with certain allergies or people who are struggling with certain diet-related diseases and specific food that they need to be careful about in their diets. Mm-hmm. So it just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, I want to take people back for a minute just to give some context. So SNAP, by the way, is what's formerly called food stamps for people that are not familiar with the SNAP vocabulary or vernacular. Mm-hmm. And if you take us back to, you know, the late 1960s, some people may remember in 1968, there was a CBS documentary called Hunger in America, which featured people in, you know, Appalachia and southern portions of the country, kids with, like, you know, the symptoms of third world hunger, bloated bellies and all those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And Americans were just aghast at how such a wealthy country could allow, you know, children, never mind our residents in general, to struggle with such amazing hunger. And so that gave birth to a lot of conversation on Capitol Hill about what do we do? And it gave birth to the food stamp program, which is now called SNAP, as you said earlier. And it really turned around. It was a watershed moment in our country and really turned around the symptoms that documentary so poignantly brought to television screens all across America. So the cuts that President Trump's 2019 fiscal year budget propose have the unfortunate power to very rapidly set us back in time to 1968 and that incredible documentary. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, we may see malnourishment like people haven't seen in decades. Mm-hmm. Which has all kinds of implications, not just for SNAP recipients, but for, you know, retailers where the SNAP money flows through, and a burden on our already overburdened healthcare system, productivity at work would probably dip. I mean, it's just amazing the sort of trickle down effect that occurs when you cut a program like this. Mm-hmm. You know, they're calling for a radical restructuring of how we deliver these benefits, right? So just to be clear, one is this food box. The other is that they're recommending that they cut, you know, food stamp benefits pretty significantly and for some people altogether. And what I want people to appreciate is that the maximum benefit right now through SNAP for an individual in America is about $192. So think about, you know, your ability to feed yourself, to go to the grocery store, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for $192 a month. And these are folks who have limited budgets and are sort of, you know, tenuously trying to figure out how do they pay their rent bill. So they're sort of balancing, do I pay rent this month? Do I pay my phone bill late so I have a couple extra dollars to buy my kids' shoes? I mean, it's serious. And these are people who are working, by the way. I mean, it tends to conjure up this sort of visual notion of people who are, you know, not working, who are homeless. We're talking about the working poor, right? Moms and dads who have, you know, each holding down a job, some in some cases have two jobs and are just having trouble making ends meet because, you know, the cost of living is far outpacing wage growth in a lot of areas. And Westchester County is well known for being an expensive place to live, of course, as an example. Mm-hmm. So $192 as a SNAP benefit just doesn't really go very far. I know when I go to the grocery store, I'm like three bags later and maybe $60 in. Mm-hmm. So imagine what's going to happen to people if that benefit is cut significantly, or for some people cut altogether. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the largest response to hunger in the United States is the private response to hunger. So the work that organizations just like the Food Bank for Westchester do on a regular basis. And who do you think the burden is going to fall to
right.
when the $192 are cut, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll see longer lines at food pantries and soup kitchens and shelters and our, you know, wonderful partner agencies on the ground. And there'll be a substantial uptick in the amount of food that's required to be distributed by food banks. Mm-hmm. So it's really shifting the burden from government to the private sector. The need itself doesn't go away.
It's true. And there's so many things that you touched on that I, there's so many things you touched on that I could talk about. And I do want to go back to the box a little bit, because I think sure. you specifically can speak to this a little bit better than I can. And I think the only reason why I know about it is because the conversations that I've had with you all, that when I think about food and my relationship with food, you know, there's a lot of nostalgia there, right? Like we think about our Absolutely. Holiday meals. We have, you know, so many things that are influenced by family traditions and cultures and whatnot. And when I think about, you know, providing a box that's a designated box where the person does not have the choice of what comes in that box and then having to feed their family, you know, you're kind of literally putting them in a box in terms of how they can, you know, culturally represent or even, you know, establish these family traditions, because they are only working with a handful of ingredients every single month.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, right? I mean, the plan essentially puts the U.S. government directly in charge of what's going to go on dinner plates of about 16 million low-income households across the United States, right? Imagine mm-hmm. everybody is now relegated to eating the same thing every night. And, you know, people who are on low incomes and really struggling to make ends meet, there is a high level of stress that they're already experiencing. And so we want to ensure that the experience is as dignified as possible. Mm-hmm. And giving somebody, you know, a box of shelf-stable items is just the antithesis of that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, here at the Food Bank, our member agencies on the ground are focused on what are called supermarket-style or client-choice pantries. Mm-hmm. It's no longer you go and you receive a bag of groceries and you go home. Mm-hmm. You know, people have the opportunity to choose what makes sense for themselves based upon, cultural associations with food. Or maybe you're celebrating and it's a milestone experience and you want to have a special meal for your kid's birthday mm-hmm. or a wedding anniversary. Everybody should have an opportunity to celebrate life in those wonderful kinds of ways. And so that wouldn't necessarily be possible with the food box. Mm-hmm. And again, never mind the logistics and the operation that would need to be, you know, implemented in order to facilitate getting these boxes to folks.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I mean, I see people getting, you know, during the holidays, getting their packages stolen. I can't even imagine, you know, how they're going to be delivering these boxes to solidify the fact that someone actually receives it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little crazy, right? I mean, they've talked about using commercial delivery services, whatever that means, and the administration claims that it would potentially save billions of dollars by purchasing the food directly. I can't imagine that that's actually the case. Mm-hmm. This is less than what they're calling a bold, innovative approach to providing nutritious food to people who need it. Mm-hmm. It's the exact opposite, right? There's no flexibility in it, and it's not even remotely innovative. talking about SNAP, right? I mean, let's talk about that for a minute and how it currently works. Mm-hmm. This is a case of if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Right.
Right. SNAP is currently a really efficient and effective program that uses, a current safe grocery retail system. Right. I mean, our retail system is really well entrenched in America. Mm-hmm. And SNAP in some cases can be used at farmers markets where people can buy fresh produce in their community, which helps farmers. It just, again, it gives them dignity and the respect to choose the food that best meets their needs. And so, for every meal that we provide, SNAP is providing a layer of additional meals for families. Mm-hmm. Billions of meals could very intentionally be lost over the next decade with the cuts that President Trump is recommending. Mm-hmm. And we're already stretched thin as a food bank,
right,
to meet this sustained high need. I mean, there's, just to give you color and context, the need in Westchester County is so substantial. In some cases, Mount Vernon, for example, the need in the city of Mount Vernon is nearly 25% of the entire population of Mount Vernon are people who are at risk of going hungry. It's about 20% overall here in Westchester County of the total population, so 1 in 5. And the total need annually for food right now in the county is about 20 million pounds. We think of things in terms of pounds here at the food bank, but mm-hmm. if you were to translate that into meals, it's about 17 million meals that are missing here in the county.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, just to be clear, these are proposed cuts. So there is a due process that happens on Capitol Hill, and the budget is very likely to go through a series of changes and debates in Washington, D.C. before it ever gets finalized. That's the good news about this, right? We do have a system that can work.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now, if people are wondering about how they can assist us, and if like you, they're really super upset mm-hmm. about that this would even be a proposal on the table,
mm-hmm.
I'd say it's really important to stay educated. So, Kate, I want to thank you for giving us a platform to help bring people closer to this proposal.
Of course.
The conversation is going to continue over a series of months.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we want people to be active advocates on the part of folks who are hungry here in Westchester and all over the country, sharing information with your friends and your family on social media. Stay tuned to us here at the Food Bank for Westchester via our website and Facebook. The action is needed, right? People's voices need to be heard. And so we'll do our best to keep people updated, but you can write letters to your local legislators. It's very likely we'll be putting templates on our website. People can adapt letters that have all the pertinent information in them, and so they can share their voice with ease with decision makers on legislation.
Well, I greatly appreciate that, because I think sometimes when we are faced with this, there's one, sometimes a little bit of misinformation, and it's hard to keep up, especially with social media these days, on what's accurate and what's not accurate. And I think too, sometimes people feel really helpless, and you might feel very passionately about something or passionately against something, and you don't feel like you have any action to take. So I greatly appreciate that. And I will, of course, anything that you guys do, I would be happily to talk about on the radio show, and also post on intoxicate.com a link directly to you, because we really need to make sure that people are educated, informed, and have actionable calls to action, to feel that they can make a change. And I greatly appreciate you, taking the time to chat with me about this, because it's something that it's almost felt intangible when the news first came out, because I my mind was just completely blown.
We have lots more to unpack with this Harvest Box. Stick around and we'll return with Leslie Gordon, President and CEO of Food Bank for Westchester.
You're listening to Fork This with Intoxicate. Keep it locked right here at 1490 WGCH.